The opinions expressed by the 1.5 doctors on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only. They are not meant to treat or diagnose. If you have a serious condition, seek medical attention immediately.
Excuse me, what Dr. Lee is trying to say is that we need to sedate the patient or he could go into cardiac arrest.
All right, I'll get the anesthesiologist.
Hang on a second, nurse. What we should probably use is marijuana. That'll sufficiently sedate the patient for surgery.
Marijuana? But why?
We don't have time for questions. We need marijuana now, as much of it as possible. Like a big bag of it.
But doctor, we don't have marijuana in this hospital.
Shit.
Dr. Stephen Ogden. Dr. Jamie Murray.
Clinical Muscle, presented by Naps Gear, starts.
Yeah. Great Scott.
The doctors are in. This is Clinical Muscle on Advices Radio Network. I'm your host, VJ Puri. Along with me, as always, is the doc, Stephen Ogden. Doc, what's happening?
Oh, man, it's beautiful morning. I'm having a good morning today.
Is it as beautiful as your trip to Florida was? Because that looked fucking outrageous.
Okay, we're gonna talk about that in a minute, but it was crazy. Sorry about yesterday. We were scheduled to record at 8:15 yesterday, and I backed out on you at the last minute. Man, I had a crazy morning. You know, my people, I thought I was good. I was supposed to be off work, and then someone couldn't make it, and I thought I was going to have to go in, and then I canceled. Then at the last minute, I found somebody to go in. So today is a bright and shiny day. I'm off. Things seem to be quiet right now. So
good.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's up with you today? You good? Everything?
I'm good. I had the day off yesterday. No training or anything. I just did I think I ended up doing 90 minutes of cardio though, just to split it up, you know, just because I had nothing else. I had nothing else to do. Right. And I was just like,
dude,
sometimes I just feel bad when unlike my rest days, you know, on my rest days, I just feel bad. Like, man, I should be doing something, you know?
So. Yeah. That's, you know, what's funny is, me and Christine been doing, our regular morning cardio and post cardio after I work out just for 20 minutes.
Yep, that's all it takes.
And I've been hitting the step mill, and man, I'll tell you what, I'm convinced now for sure that thing is by far the best exercise for cardio.
I mean, yeah, yo, for sure, yeah.
20 minutes on that, I'm just dripping in sweat like I can't get on a treadmill doing sprints. I don't know if it's just me, it's the exercise, but. That's funny. We've been doing that for like the last since I came back from Florida a little bit because I had a really big eating.
you binged out. You celebrated. It was celebration because you passed your exam, no problem. So it was time to get some food in you.
I did. And listen, oh my God, dude, the hotel that I was in. I mean, I was sending you pics.
I saw. That's crazy. Beautiful place, man.
This place is. Like literally, I felt like I was on Robin Leach was going to be there. Like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. I was like, holy shit. I'd never stayed in anything like that before, dude. It was like its own little city.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't even really, I had a lot of good experiences. One, the first 2 days I just hung out and did some stuff and was mostly trying to study for the test, brushing up on my OMT, and you saw my skills on the video.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's how you do it.
Yeah, man. I got her popping good. I was doing that for the couple days before the test. Before I left, I was adjusting her and Haley, trying to go through some stuff in my mind. And then when I got down there, I had a couple issues. One is I got in the room and actually two issues. I pulled out my paperwork to make sure my test time and everything where I need to be. So I wanted to go scope out the convention center. So in the morning when I went, I wouldn't have to, you know, rush over there and freak out. So as I'm reading this paper, dude, I'm like, oh shit, they had a dress code.
No. For
the test. It was a manual OMT test. It was a practical. And I'm like, all I brought was my track pants and some Under Armour shirts and some shorts and tank tops because it was going to be – I'm in Florida, right?
Right, yeah.
Dude, they got no sweatpants, no tank tops, no T-shirts, no watches, dress shoes, had to wear khakis and a polo.
Wow.
So I was now in Florida with none of that.
Jeez.
So that's what prompted me to do my first Uber trip.
How did that go?
Dude, like, it was like the best experience ever catching a ride.
Now, how is that so much more different than a taxi? Like,
I don't think it is, except they seem to be really fast, dude. Cool, they were, dude, I put that thing in and they're like, boom, he'll be there in 3 minutes.
Three minutes?
Oh, yeah, your driver's 3 minutes away. I'm like, are they just circling the place like sharks? I think they are.
No shit.
And then, so I went down to the concierge. I said, look, I need a mall, dude. I need to go shopping. So that was what I did on the one day. I went and found this outlet, and it was beautiful out, an outside outlet. And I just walked around by myself, and I picked up an outfit. Fuck, I had to spend money on that.
Ugh, I hate that shit.
But it got me to – now I'm like an Uber freak. And like the next day I was like, well, I didn't know how to use that now. So I went downstairs. I'm like, where's there a really good gym? And they're like, there's a Gold's over in Orlando. So boom, I took Uber to that too.
How far from Orlando is was it Kissimmee? Is that where you were?
Yeah,
you
know, it's like right there. It is Orlando.
It's like a suburb. It's a suburb of Orlando.
It must be. I mean, it was like the Disney was like 5 minutes from where I'm staying.
Oh, that's
staying.
Cool. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but man, it was nice. I wish the weather would have been better. I think the highest it got was 60, though. And I think that was because of our – yeah, you know what? Because of the cold front, we were having snow up here. So I think it was cooler down there. So it wasn't – yeah, it was kind of like, I kind of sucked. I didn't get to lay out a lot or swim or anything. I didn't want to, but – but yeah, it wasn't bad. It was long being by myself for 4 days. I hated that. But other than that,
yeah, that is long. That is long. But when you actually like your wife and kids, that's long.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's what it is. Like I would have had a whole lot more fun if they were with me.
Yeah.
But the good thing was, dude, I was trained. I trained like three times. I got up, did my cardio, ate, slept. Studied, went back and lifted, came home, ate. I felt like I was in like Kuwait.
Yeah, you're like a pro bodybuilder down there.
That's all I did was slept, lifted, slept, lifted, slept. If I could do that for a whole year straight, God knows what kind of gains I could make. You know what I mean?
I can't believe that they had a dress code for that thing instead of like just scrubs. You know what I mean? Because I mean,
it had a big sign, no scrubs. That's a failure.
That's fucking dumb. I mean,
I'll have to send you the list of shit.
That's not even like normal practice setting. I mean, nobody doing manual adjustments is wearing their nice clothes.
Listen, when someone comes to see you at the office for a back for an adjustment, you would want them to wear gym attire, like comfortable clothes, so you can move there. Then look. I bought khakis, which I never wear, the girl's struggling to get my pant leg up, and I'm like, yeah, they told me to wear these. You know, hey, I can't help it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And with like, you know, not sweatpants, but like track pants, you know. And I brought some loose shirts because I thought, you know, if I need to take my shirt off, if they need to, you know, whatever. And then I get down there, and I'm just glad I read it and didn't read it the morning of the test.
No shit. Yeah. Damn.
I'm glad I went a day early because that's when I noticed it.
So I got to hear about your. What all did you eat that was so bad?
Oh. Okay. So. I did pack all my meals. Oh, that's the other nightmare. Dude, okay, so now you got a $10 billion hotel that's on like 60 acres. I mean, this place is – and
Jesus.
I get in my room. Dude, this place was huge, dude. I get in my room. I'm fucking looking for the refrigerator. That's because I had froze a bunch of chicken. I brought those minute rices. You know those microwave rices? I brought a bunch of all them. And I brought a big thing of oatmeal and some powder. And I was all set, you know. I put my hot sauce in those little 3 ounce containers you can bring on the plane. Little shampoo bottles.
Yep,
those little shampoo bottles, they're money. So I'm there and I get to the room and I'm happy. My stuff's all nice and frozen because I had it in the cooler and all. Found the fridge, had a little freezer in there, boom, boom, put everything in there. I'm like, all right. So I go to and I'm hungry, so I go to get my stuff. Then I look and I'm like, I must be in one of these. Cause they had like these even the refrigerator was hidden in like a fancy armoire. You know what I mean? Like you open – it looks like it was drawers, but it wasn't. You open it, and it was all connected, and the refrigerator and safe were behind it. So I'm like, all right. Now where's the microwave? So I'm looking in the closet. I'm looking like, oh, frozen fucking chicken. No.
Oh, no.
Christine's like, call downstairs. Tell them you want to rent one or whatever. So I call down there like, oh, no, we don't do that. But we have one for you.
Oh, Jesus.
On the first floor. Dude, I had to walk 4 or 5 times a day. Down to the first floor, which literally I bet was a quarter mile away.
Well, you got your extra cardio in then, huh?
I was doing – dude, I got so much cardio. That's why the calories didn't do nothing. So then what I did was – here's what I did. I ate good for first four meals. I ate perfect. And then I went out to dinner. And they had the sports bar in there that was like legit, like a Buffalo Wild Wings with like a 30-mile big screen TV. Like, I was like, man, if I was drinking bad like I used to, I'd be in here getting hammered. You know? But dude, I went down there and I had like burger and freaking this. I had this big ass. They had this salad. It was like I put grilled chicken on it. I did then a burger and fries every night. I was such a fatty. And then I had like
that's not too bad. At least you had salad.
I'm not done yet.
Oh, all right.
And then I went to they had a Starbucks built in, like, basically.
Yeah, shit.
And went in there, and they had, like, muffins, banana bread.
Mm.
You're
a banana bread guy. I know you are.
Dude, I was literally – big-ass oatmeal cookies. It was bad. I just turned into – like, I was – at night, I turned into, like, someone needed to lock the place down because I was just going bananas. But I did cardio, like, four times a day, so I think that kept it to a minimum.
Yeah.
One night I didn't do too bad. One night I just had sushi. They had a sushi restaurant in there, overpriced. I only got like two rolls for $40.
Jesus Christ. Oh my
God.
Yeah,
dude. I was like, oh, this is bullshit. You know?
I would have fucking hopped in an Uber and hit a Japanese steakhouse or something. It would have cost you fucking half the price.
I think that might have been before my Uber awakening. So that was
awakening.
and I'm convinced that now I want to be an Uber driver.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could sustain my family with that, but hey.
Yeah.
That just seems pretty cool though. And I got all these like old men that were retired and they were all like real nice and like pop-ups, you know, where are you going? You know, they pull up, hey, Steve? And I'm like, yeah, Bill. They send you a little picture of the car and the dude's face.
That's
so, like,
amazing.
dude, it's crazy. It's like an ingenious setup, man. And it's really pretty cheap. Like my rides were like $8 each way, you know, so. They take PayPal. So you just PayPal it right on the thing.
That's fucking awesome.
Man, that's legit right there.
Yeah. They're going to put taxi cabs out of business, Uber is.
I think they literally are, except, you know, what I did notice was, I guess this goes for anything. It seemed like your ride was more expensive if you were going somewhere that wasn't sort of like a popular place. Like a ride to Epcot Center, for instance, I was just fooling around Googling shit. A ride to like the Disney place was like $4.
Oh, jeez.
Ride to the Gold's Gym, which was not that was about the same distance, was like 12.
Huh.
So I don't know if it goes by, you know, the more rides they get to that place, the less the price is. That's just what it seemed like to
it's,
me.
It's probably just like whatever place is more populous, then they can potentially pick up another, you know, another
fair.
Fare right
like
away.
Opposed to drive all the way out here, and I'm only going to get this. I'm going to miss out on all this stuff. We're going to charge you so much. I don't know. Maybe it was just the way it is, but it was cool. I'll do it again for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
It doesn't freak me out then, because I watch way too many movies, and I have this preconceived notion that if I'm going to somewhere in Florida or the Everglades or something, that if I get into a cab, I'm going to be taken. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm just gonna be taken. I'm gonna end up in some swamp somewhere, you know.
Nah, you'll be good. I'm sure everyone gets some kind of background check or something. But everybody that I had were super cool. Like, and most of them had the same story. Like the one dude, you know, we're just chatting and stuff. The two of the guys were just retired fellows. They went down there. They retired from their jobs. They bought a house. And their wife retired. They had grandkids and shit. And they got tired of being retired. And the one guy said, you know, my son said, Dad, this is a perfect job for you. You don't want to stay home. You like talking. So he did it. And the other guy had a kind of similar story. He's like, well, I got down here and was like, after a year, I was like, God, I need to find a job. I just don't feel like staying home all the time. And they like it because they could do it a couple hours a day, make a couple bucks, drive around, get out of the house, you know.
Man, the wheels are turning in my head. I'm like, well, number one, I'm a brown guy, right? I just need to buy like a Crown Vic or something, and boom, I think I'll be in the Uber business.
No, that's the thing. Don't get a Crown Vic. You need to get like a Prius.
Oh, so you save on gas. I see.
Yeah, dude, they all had like a Nissan, one guy had a small Nissan. The other guy had like a Ford Focus. The other guy had like a Prius. Yeah, they all weren't like brand new cars, but they were, you know, they were nice and clean. He didn't smell like cigarettes or anything. You know, you could tell that they did, but they, and they all, and the one guy I was talking to told me he bought that car just for the Uber job. And it was like a little tiny car. Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. I'm telling you, man, the wheels are turning here. I'm just like, it sounds like it's going to fit my lifestyle, and it sounds fun because I like driving around anyways. I'll just take my Mustang instead, though.
You know what? It's so ingenious whoever come up with this, because the overhead on this has to be nothing, because guess what they use as their main, like, their thing? Google Maps. It's all free. So they're not paying anything for your location. They're using it through Google Maps.
Right.
So they got Google Maps pulled up on you on the phone with the little GPS, and you can follow the little car back to your house, you know, it's I was just like you. I watched Criminal Minds. I was figuring I was going to get sliced if I got it.
Oh, man.
I told the guys that too, and the guy's like, "Yeah, you're a pretty big guy. I don't think you're going to have a problem either way." But he's like, "Nah." He's like, "You would catch a taxi, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, what's the difference?"
Yeah,
I'm like, true. And it's cheap. I think it's cheaper, for sure.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, interesting. It was really cool.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild what's happening. I came from I grew up in Ottawa, Canada, and we have I think we had like the bus. Like the best public bus system on earth. Like it was just as efficient as like taking like, you know, like the train in New York or something. You know what I mean? It was like there's buses every 15 minutes, you know, to get to wherever you needed to get to in the whole city. And this is like a dense city, right? Ottawa, Canada is about like, you know, 1.5 million people. So it's like you never needed a cab. You know, there was hardly any cabs in the city at all.
Yeah.
I wonder how, like, Uber would do over there. Just a thought. I'm just thinking because, like, the public transport there was just fucking awesome. But
yeah,
I guess
might be different.
I guess public transport in New York is pretty fucking awesome, too, right? Because of the train or the subway or whatever.
Yeah, man. They're always running. But yeah, still, man, but, the guy told me the New York guys make a killing, though.
Yeah. So I guess it works, man. Well, I'm thinking I may have to jump the old Uber driver. Uber driver slash retired chiropractor slash podcaster.
Slumlord.
Podcasting kingpin, right?
Yeah, no, man, it's really – you do it at your – you don't have scheduled hours. He's like, if you're sitting home like bored, I'm going to go out and catch some fares. You just get in your car, turn it on, sign in, and go. And it pops up like – it'll say something like searching your drivers. There's 8 in your area. Boom, and one will pop up. And the guy was telling me – if it's somewhere that you don't feel comfortable going, like a shady part of town, mm-hmm. you just ignore it.
Yeah. Like the ghetto, definitely. There's lots of those around here. Yeah.
And the two old men were like, the two old men told me that, you know, I only do it in the morning or in the afternoons. He's like, I don't go out. He's like, a lot of people make a lot of money going out at night because of drunk people.
Oh,
he's like,
true.
But I don't want to fool with drunk people.
No kidding.
You know, messing up your car or, you know, getting weird. He said, I'll leave that for the younger guys. Take care of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't put up with that either. I would definitely be more of a morning guy too. I'll be taking all the old people out to like the Coney Islands or the IHOPs or something, you know, to get their early bird specials.
Yeah. Oh man. So yes, today's a big day. I'm all pumped up. My daughter has her first lacrosse game at 5 o'clock tonight.
Wow. Badass.
I'm totally stoked because, you know, she's never done any sports except for cheerleading and you know, she did the competitive cheerleading where we traveled all the time and, you know, she did the competitions and all that shit. And then this year she obviously did that in high school for football season. And she never played a sport. And she came home and said, I want to play lacrosse. And she learned it. And she's been practicing. And, you know, she's got her first game tonight at 5. I can't fucking wait to see her, like, in a real – I don't want to say a real sport. Like, in the game, you know. Some kind.
Yeah. Hopefully she lays someone out real.
Well, it's funny because even with cheerleading, we're always up in, like – when we used to travel and stuff, we would be up in, like, the – auditorium seating or whatever, and they take them away with the coach and they're down there and she don't get to see like us clap for her. She always and at Stevie's games at football I'm the coach, so she sees how pumped I get mm-hmm. for him. And then basketball, we're right there on the sideline and she would always make comments like, I bet you would never, you didn't do that for me, you know, like. And today I was like, you're gonna find out, watch how pumped I get. And she goes, no. Then she's the kind of kid that's like, Dad, don't you dare say my name out loud.
That's cool, man. Yeah.
I'm fucking excited. We're really excited. We can't wait.
It is full contact though, right?
Dude, I guess I'm gonna find out tonight if she's ready. She came home yesterday. She's like nervously ready. She's like, they got her. I don't know anything about lacrosse. I'm gonna learn it this year, I guess. I've been watching some. The other day I watched Johns Hopkins versus Syracuse on ESPN lacrosse game.
Well, she has pads though, right?
Girls don't.
Oh wow!
They have mouthpieces and like protective eyewear. Yeah. Nope.
Maybe it's because they're tougher.
Yeah, probably. I think I don't know. I think it's. I don't know. I think there's just different rules. Maybe I have no idea. I'm going to learn though. But she's playing what's called midfield. She said, which is kind of like they run all around. I guess I don't even know. I got to learn.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm just going to see her running out there, and you know, it would be pretty cool. I can't wait.
Yeah. You know, lacrosse is the Canadian national sport. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
Yep. That's the national sport, which is funny because none of our high schools up there actually you can't play lacrosse there.
Shut up.
Yeah, like hardly. At least when I was growing up, like we didn't have like lacrosse teams or anything. Or if they did, nobody ever went to them, so I didn't know about them. You know, so you know everything's hockey, right? Hockey and Canadian style football.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, see where I grew up, I think I hate to say this. Okay, I was the poor kid that lived in sort of hood. So, you know, my schools, we only played the sports that I considered sports, which was football, baseball, wrestling,
yeah,
and basketball, you know. Where I grew up, I feel like lacrosse and rugby and things like that were the rich white kid sports over at the private schools.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I hate to say that, but that's just the way I felt. So I mean, that's all I ever saw was like the private school lacrosse guy. I didn't even know my high school. I know for sure.
No, man, those stereotypes are real. That happened.
You know, school that's the state champion in golf is probably also the state champion in lacrosse and tennis.
Yeah. And have the best computers for their students over there.
Yeah. I mean, that was my interpretation growing up, so that's why I never got into it. You know, but the private schools I know were pretty big on that kind of stuff. So, yeah, yeah. You know, so. But yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait.
Good, good. So, other than your binge on in Florida, how's the diet going?
Oh, you know what? It's same. You know, I did increase my calories some. I've been eating a little more carbs.
Yeah. That's funny that you said that because I've actually done the same thing, but I'm still maintaining like a decent condition.
Yeah, so. Me too. I mean, I'm still eating the same stuff, but I just increased my carbs some. I'm eating a little more carbs, and I'm just still doing the cardio. And remember I said I was mid-March I was going to do that?
Yeah.
So, you know, I came back, and I'm still like – my weight hasn't really changed. I mean, I flux from like – I think – like I said, the lowest I got was 192, I think, but I haven't been that way in a while. It went back up to like 194. So I'm anywhere fluxing from 194, 196, 194, 197.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, one thing I love is that my blood pressure has been excellent, man. It's freaking great. It's one of the – you know, it's – been one of the better ones I've had in a long time. And
yeah,
I've been checking.
Have you had a history with blood pressure issue?
Not terrible, but I'm always like, okay, so if I was my own doctor, I would consider myself pre-hypertensive.
Okay.
And I sort of like the kid that we had on the show with the last – one of the questions from last show about his blood pressure was sometimes 135, 38, 40 sometimes, but sometimes – most time he's 120, mm-hmm, kind of thing. I'm kind of that guy, but it's always been high 130s over high 80s. And sometimes when I do a little, quote, bulking, like in the summertime,
yeah,
I will get get some 140s over 90s, you know, and I think it's got all to do with my weight. When my weight, honestly, when my weight gets like 220-ish, that's when I start to notice it and I got to back down a little bit. I don't know. I mean, and that's what we tell people most of the time, lose weight, you lose medicine, you know, your body doesn't like that. So you either keep pushing and get on medicine. This is just my assessment for me. I either keep pushing and get on medicine or I lose weight. And that's kind of what I do after the summer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's pretty common, you know, I mean, the better in shape that you get, all your health markers kind of go up unless you're taking a bunch of gear and shit, then your triglycerides
right.
Will
yeah,
fuck
yeah,
your blood pressure, you get the trend blood pressure, you know?
Yeah. That's bad stuff.
Yeah.
But like, I think also that's why I'm a big, you know, sort of, I know people want to get huge and in the off season, stop cardio because it's going to burn your blah, blah, blah. Look, The more cardio you do, the healthier your heart's going to be. Your blood pressure's going to be better. If you want to get bigger, just eat more. You know, I think cardio is always important, and that's why I never stop it. Because if I did, if I let my weight go up to like 220 in the summer, like I probably will. If I stopped cardio, God, I'd probably be 160 for sure. There's no doubt. I'd need medicine.
260, you mean, right? You said 160.
No. I'm talking about blood pressure.
In the summertime, I was thinking weight. Makes sense. Yeah.
In the summertime, when my weight goes up to say like the 220 mark,
yeah.
If I did no cardio, I'm sure my blood pressure would go to 150 or 60.
Wow. Yeah,
but that's quite the cardio swing. I mean, I know that. I can see it. I can see it rise as my weight. If I stay under 200, perfect. Problem is that doesn't happen all the time.
No.
Yeah. So that's my thing.
Yeah. I say this all the time, but and you know, with the last time I dieted down, I maintained a pretty lean condition, pretty much up until the summer. Right around basically when we started recording. And it's like football season comes, dude, and forget about it. You know, it's just junk food and good times. And then, then the body fat comes on. But this time around, I've got I think I'll be able to maintain a lean condition throughout the year. You never know what life's going to throw at you. You know, you never know how you're going to need to change your diet or whatever. But, you know, the way things are going, I'm feeling pretty good. So, I mean,
yeah.
You
know. And I also think this is crazy. I mean, I'm starting to, and I, like I said, in the summertime, me and Christy, we get a little loose down the beach having drinks and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty convinced that you said this, and I'm pretty convinced that that's worse than any food I can eat. For sure. Yeah, I believe that puts the weight on you. Like there's no fighting that. And see, that's where you got it. That's the trade off. So I'm really gonna, you know, this summer I want to see how I do if we don't indulge at all. And if we're going to go out, I'll eat extra ice cream or something.
Yeah, like I guarantee you'll end up leaner than you were the last time around, the last summer or whatever.
I'm going to try it, dude. Yeah. I mean, because it's not like I have to have it. We just like have fun, you know, we're like, let's let loose down there, but we can let loose other ways. And it's like,
fuck yeah. Go get your medical marijuana card. There you go. You don't have to intake all those extra shitty calories and decrease your protein synthesis. You can just eat some leaf, dude, and you'll be feeling great.
Ironically, the medical marijuana company that I told you about that I think is the only one in Delaware is hiring.
Hell yeah, dude, man. See, if I could take any one job, that would be it right now. Like I used to be all about like getting into like a TRT clinic and starting my own TRT clinic, but I don't have the credentials to be able to do that. You know what I mean? It's like I can be a consultant, but fuck. You know, I'd rather be in the chair where I could be diagnosing, treating, and you know, basically taking care of patients. But I can't do that as a chiropractor. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'd have to go back to fucking medical school, or what I was planning on doing was getting my nurse practitioner doctorate, essentially. But that would take time too. So it's like you know, DRT is I can't really follow that at this stage in my life. But the next best thing was like being able to be a clinician in a weed clinic, dude, because they have the best setup, they've got the best schedule, they've got it easy going, man. Oh man, it's a great setup for any clinician. Look into it, dude.
I don't want to do that. I just thought it was ironic that I saw they're actually hiring. I was like, oh wow. And it basically was a screening physicals is what they do.
Yeah.
And take the information, and I don't know what happens after that, but I know not enough about it.
Yeah, yeah. They'll just approve you for the card. You get the card, you come back, and then they dispense. Yeah, they give you what you need. So. Yeah. Easy. You don't got to deal with any fucking Blue Cross Blue Shield, no Humana, none of that bullshit, you know.
Oh God, I know. That's the one downfall to that's the one downfall to private, you know, primary care. That's why I've actually always thought about going back to family practice, you know, by myself and doing concierge medicine, but that's just such a scary proposition because, you know, if you don't get enough patients to support yourself and then you know, then some of the trade-offs with that are these people pay you up front and you provide them with services basically 24/7. And even though you get to choose your own patients, so, you know, you can choose people who don't appear to be wackos or, you know, drug seekers.
Sure.
You never know when you're going to get the person who calls 24/7 because, you know, their kid stubs their toe or, you know, so that's kind of a scary proposition.
Yeah.
You know, I just posted something yesterday. It was a good article.
Yeah, that's what got my wheels turning. I was just like, yeah, I'm kind of with you, man. It's just when you're in business in family practice or in like a, you know, a self setting, essentially, you become a businessman rather than a doctor, and it's not a good feeling. You know what I mean? It's like your priorities shift from becoming, you know, being a good physician to you know, running a numbers game, essentially, you know.
Exactly. And
it's not good, man. It's not good for your psyche as a doctor, or, you know, if you're wired that way, then absolutely, you know, that's great business to get into, you know. But me personally, I'm not wired that way. Like I don't like the business end of things like that. As far as that goes. So, like, I like your setup, just great. I think that's fucking phenomenal, you know.
Yeah,
or a weed clinic, also great.
So. You just go do my I get a paycheck, I do my shifts, I take care of people, and I don't have to worry about billing or
dude, you don't got to worry about overhead and any of that
I don't have people call, well, except for the people I manage, but I mean, I don't have to go on call, I don't have to, you know, do anything like that.
That's why
I ended up choosing urgent care anyway. That's one of the reasons. More time to do other things like this,
like wasting time on podcasts.
Like wasting time, you know, exactly.
I love it. That's the way to be. Good
sitting here, like talking to you on a computer, like Al Bundy, one hand's in my pants, and I'm just kicked back.
And you got your branching amino acid drink in your other hand there.
Yeah, my fake ones, the Kool-Aid version.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to say that. I think the ones I use probably are pretty decent. I think so. They've been around a long time.
Yeah, I'm just not a Brent Shane guy.
I just can't get my
head around it. I know you like to drink it for the taste, and that's it, you know.
You know what? We buy the same one, same flavor, just about all. That's all we buy because Chrissy won't drink nothing else, and we started using them years ago because that's when we thought they really helped, you know.
Yeah.
And found this brand, and we've been drinking the same. It's Sivation is what it is. The Extend.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I used to take that during workouts sometimes. Until I realized it was fucking up my blood sugars.
Yeah. But, well, we could fix that.
Yeah, right. But, hey, we've got some questions here. Just a few, but we've got some questions from emails and from the Advices Radio Network forum. Again, you know, our email is clinicalmuscle@gmail.com. If you've got any questions, shoot them on over. And we'll take care of them. Or, of course, we've got a sticky posted at the Advices Radio Network forum where you can submit your questions and we can attack them there. But let's hit the emails real quick here. Dear 1.5 Docs, I'm 23 years old, been training for 9 years, and a year ago I realized I was feeling in the gutters. You named the low T symptom, and I had it. So he had low T. I have not touched any AAS in my past, and I have experimented with peptides and MK677. I decided to get my own labs done to see what was going on. I had a free test level of 7 and a total test level of 168. Thyroid, E2, TSH, vitamin D, and other blood levels checked in the male panel were also within range at this point. So, wow, at 23 years old, can you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, and this story seems to be like, go ahead.
Yeah, well, there's a lot more here.
That's a sin, yeah. I mean, 23, this isn't – and why we're stopping there for a second, based on his history, what he's telling us anyway, he doesn't sound like he did anything to
– fuck it up. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like he did anything to himself that would induce that.
Yeah. Fast forward 2 months later and was able to see an endo. We did the Clomid test at 25 and 50 milligrams initially over a 1.5-month time frame, and I was unresponsive. Being that I was only 23, they didn't want to treat me with TRT. They told me that right away. They decided to go with HCG at 2,000 IU 3 times a week. This initially brought my total T in the low 600 range, and I felt better for a bit. He said 2 months he felt better, and then they slid right back down. They decided to give me to have me stay on HCG for a long period of time. Luckily, my insurance covered it, so that's great. Fast forward to now, I feel back in the shitters again with all the symptoms while running the ACG 500 IU three times a week just to make it last longer. Because I do realize 2,000 IU three times a week is a lot. Well, could be. I have moved.
Exactly.
Yeah, it depends, right? So I have moved recently and I'm on the wait list for seeing an endo in central Iowa. Unfortunately, my new employer insurance doesn't cover HCG and I can't afford to keep taking it. I have established with a general practitioner here in central Iowa and explained my past with her to see my to see her opinion. She had me take labs again, and my total T was down to 353, which is technically in range, but I was still feeling like shit. She decided to give me have me to wait and see my endo, as she was wasn't educated on treating low T. So my point here is that I am fed up with feeling terrible. It has been over a year with these issues being as bad as it is. I have very low energy, very lethargic. I'm not myself. He says load is zero sex drive. And I'm getting married in 5 months, and this isn't setting myself up for a great marriage. I'm not able to lose fat or gain muscle. Man, poor kid. No matter how hard I train and diet, brain fog, mental focus issues, etc. I feel that this is starting to put my relationship and my job at stake. I see my doc wanting to protect me for the long term. Yeah, I don't know about that. I have also I have also thought long and hard on this and. As well, but at this point, it's not worth feeling this bad. My fiance and I also do not want kids at all. I had disclosed this as well. So the 1.5 docs, what recommendations do you guys have here to go forward to feeling better? Also, what considerations do you have as I get ready for this endo appointment at the end of March? How should I go about talking to the endo on this issue and getting treated properly? Love the show, guys. Keep it up. Appreciate it.
Cool, man. This is a lot of information and a lot for a 23-year-old to deal with. Actually,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you gotta figure young. This guy's got, you know, hopefully 70, 80 more years of, you know, 70 yeah. more years of life or whatever, you know what I mean? And he's even with the HCG. So to his point about the HCG 2,000 IUs three times a week being what he felt like was high. Now, I guess. From most standards, like from what you read on boards and, you know, PCT protocols and this and that, some people would think that was high, but actually for sort of hypogonadism, that's really – you actually could go higher than that.
Yeah, I've seen 5,000 IU three times a week for people okay, that are truly –
Okay, exactly.
You know,
4,000, 5,000 three yeah. times a week. So number one – okay, I want to say this. What could – he may just for a temporary, he may want to go back to his dose that he's prescribed, especially if, I know his, what do you say? His insurance wasn't going to cover it now.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Did he say that? Yeah. Okay. Well, if his insurance sort of was covering it, I would have told him go back to that dose because it did have him up. And he was feeling better for a while and you could even talk to doc, maybe bump that up a little bit, but long story short is I don't feel that's something that's sustainable for the next 30 years.
No, fuck no. God, she's 23 years old. That's,
yeah,
that's crazy.
I mean, and he is low at 350 something to me. I mean, listen, that is still in a quote lab core normal range, but I think anything less than 400, especially a 23-year-old guy, he should be, I mean, I think he should be at least 7, 8, 9, maybe higher.
Dude,
you know,
at 23, he should be beaten down his boner 24 hours a day. You know
exactly.
I mean?
And, you know, other little silly things that aren't related to his questions are, I mean, if this really is causing him all these issues and he's about to get married and he's already having some sort of relationship problems because of the lethargy and all that.
That's no
I
good.
Mean, that's geez. No way to start a life.
No,
excuse me,
no.
A married life,
yeah.
You know? So I'm just going to go through his questions now, but they're just little things that I wanted to point out that jumped in my head as we were discussing that.
Yeah, and, no, for sure. I agree.
Let me get out. So 1.5 doctors, what considerations do I have as I get ready for the endo at the end of March? So I don't know what he's talked to his doctor about. So anyway, back to the HCG thing. I mean, I think that was that's a temporary thing. I wouldn't manage anyone on that forever. You know, I think this guy needs testosterone. You know, he might only need a low dose to get him feeling better. Who knows? I think his doctor probably is, quote, protecting him, but really protecting themselves, to be honest.
Sure. Absolutely. They're not protecting the patient. I mean, again, that's fucking crazy to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, to me, this goes back to a doctor who is uncomfortable with this because of probably the testosterone stigma.
Yep.
They're afraid they're going to either hurt him or they're going to be flagged or there's steroids or he has some secondary gain he wants to get out. I mean, this is just my opinion. So I think this guy probably he needs to be on some kind of testosterone. I mean, even if they want it to be, you know, hey, they don't like injectables. Maybe they could start him off on a little Androdel. He may hate it, but at least they're trying something other than HCG for the rest of his life.
It's not going to work. You know what I mean? I mean, you've got a limited window when it comes to HCG. Nobody can stay on HCG permanently. It just doesn't work. Your Leydig cells just stop responding. Your body is smarter than the drugs are, unfortunately. So it'll find a way to not accept though, you know, HCG, because HCG is human gonadotropin. It is not luteinizing hormone and it is not follicle stimulating hormone. It is a mimic, right? So it's similar. Right. It's similar to those compounds. So Leydig cells in your testes, they accept the human gonadotropin as a possible luteinizing hormone, and as a result, your testosterone goes up, etc. But eventually, that shit does not work anymore because your body's smarter than that. It's going to realize, holy shit, this is not luteinizing hormone, nor is it follicle stimulating hormone. I'm not going to accept it anymore.
And right. It's really not helping to sort of, I'm going to say, to kind of, even if this doctor thinks they're trying to sort of restart his pituitary or whatever,
right.
That's not doing that.
No, fuck no, it's not. If anything, anyone who puts anyone on HCG you're basically just priming them for TRT. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Because of the negative feedback loop, you're already shutting them down, you know, so to speak, you know, with air quotes or whatever. So,
right.
So I mean, if you're going to be, shut down in your own production, you're essentially getting false production from HCG, you know what
exactly.
I mean? And it's not a long-term solution by any means.
Who wants to do that 3 times a week when you're 23 years old for the rest of your life? I mean, so another point. Maybe his doctor's worried about him having kids. Well, here's the thing. I will say this. He did mention that him and his fiance don't want kids right now. But let me tell you what, at 23 years old, I didn't want kids either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest. And I'm now 44, and I can't imagine my life without my children.
Sure. Of course not. This is a life changer. I almost
feel horrible that I used to have them thoughts that even created sort of tension between me and Chrissy at times over we're having kids. And I kept putting it off saying, well, you know, someday, yeah, we're going to, yeah. And then what happened was when I applied to medical school, I tried the old, we should wait till we're medical school. When I got the old, oh, fuck no, we're not. We're not waiting 4 more years. I'm 30 years old. I told you I always wanted to have a kid before I'm 30. I don't want to be an AMA mom, an AMA, you know, pregnant lady. So Chrissy, we had our first kid at 30.
Yeah. Jeez.
And from the time I was a young guy to, you know, till that time, and even up to that time, I always felt like, well, I'm doing it at that point. I kind of felt like I love her. So, and I did make this commitment. So I'm doing this for her. I really don't want a kid. Until I saw Haley. And then I was like, oh my God, what a fucking jerk I am.
I
couldn't even believe that that's creatable. Like,
yeah.
We made that. It's amazing. So long story short is maybe you don't want kids, but it's always something to just don't bank on that. So that's just something I read that because I had the similar feelings when I was 23, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, look, at 23, look, I say this all the time, but basically under the age of 26, everyone's retarded. All right, they don't know.
Yeah.
They really don't know. I mean, they think they know, you know, but they have no fucking clue because time changes everything. Time changes wisdom, experience changes, and it shapes you, man. You know, so I mean, when you're young like that, believe me, you don't have anything in order. Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I don't care how organized you are or how organized you think your life is going to be. It's not. The rug is going to get pulled out from under you 1,000 times from now. So, you know, don't make any quick decisions, but at the same time, you have to think about, you know, your marriage coming up at
and
this time.
And your health.
And your health. And your happiness and moving forward.
And your happiness, right. So, okay, so first question basically is, what considerations do I have, do you have, as I get ready for this endo appointment at the end of March? One thing I would say is I'm not, trust me, I'm a doctor. I don't want anyone to fake me out. I don't want to be telling people to fake people out. But here's what I'm telling you. If it was me, I would make sure that my testosterone levels were actually normal baseline, meaning you should probably come off everything. That would be my opinion. They're going to draw blood on you again.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you're still taking HCG, that may keep you in the 350s, whatever. And so then he's going to be like, well, you're doing okay right now. You're young. So I would say make sure that you get a blood sample, that everything is sort of homeostatic. There's nothing influencing that.
Yeah.
For them, because otherwise their opinion on what they need to do might change. And then he says, how should I go about talking to the endo on this city and getting treated properly? Everything that you've told me and Deej here, I think, is what I would make sure I express to them wholeheartedly.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. Your feelings, your emotions, your relationship issue.
Yeah.
I mean, you're 23, about to get married. This is already interfering with that. Dude, that's going to get worse, trust me. Mm-hmm. Marriage doesn't make things always better.
No, fuck no.
And then the other thing, and this may be a purely financial situation, but at 353, I do know that there are some online hormone replacement centers, including one that I think Dave Palumbo sort of talks about a lot, that they tend to be a little more aggressive on what levels they'll treat.
Yep.
And even at like 400, they may still prescribe you testosterone.
Oh, they will. Absolutely. That 400 is technically still low to most actual TRT clinics. They want to see you 600 minimum.
Exactly. So in my opinion, if the endo fails, they will keep you on the HCG, or they try some other Clomid magic, or they don't want to put you on Androgel. They don't want to do anything to replace it and get you just a little bit better so you're feeling good. To me, if it's, you know, if finances aren't the issue, and at 23 for me, finances would be a huge issue. But you may want to investigate one of them, because they do help people, and they tend to be a little more open-minded, because that's what they want to do. They want people to feel good.
Yeah.
So that's my advice.
Look, he says that he's from Central Iowa. So look, my TRT guy is in Iowa. He's in Eastern Iowa, in Davenport, Iowa, right? ACI Medicine.
Hey, the
doc's name is actually nurse practitioner. His name is Sean Snyder. Dude, tell him I sent you. And he will take care of you. I don't know what insurance will do. Insurance will definitely cover blood work and things. I don't know if it'll cover medication. That depends on your insurance. But from the sounds of it, it's not going to cover – your current insurance is not going to cover HCG and testosterone anyways. So you're looking at out-of-pocket fees. I would – dude, contact my guy and let him take care of you. Don't even bother with the endo is my thing. I just don't see it working long-term. I don't think he's going to – look – I don't know. I can't really say one way or another, because I don't really know this endo. But what I can tell you is that of all the endos that I have seen, none are progressive enough to get you to where you want to be with your testosterone levels and your emotions and your feelings and things. You know what I mean? Because they're looking at baseline numbers and they'll be like, oh, well, as long as you're in 300, 400, that's fine. Well, that's not fine. Clearly, it's not fine for you. So go with someone who's going to treat you aggressively.
I like that. I didn't know. Yeah. If he's close to you, that sounds like a winner right there.
Yeah. He probably has to travel. It sounds like he only has to travel like an hour and a half. That's fucking nothing, dude.
Not for getting fixed. Listen, it's your life. It's your health. It's your peace of mind. It's your well-being. I mean, if that, you know, so yeah, damn, good job. Yeah. I would look that guy up.
Absolutely. Sean Snyder, nurse practitioner, ACI Medicine in Davenport, Iowa. If you want, you can hit me up and I can send you his cell phone number or his email. You can Google him, man. He's there to find. Just tell him that I sent you, and he'll get you in ASAP. Okay.
Ah, I love this. Yeah. That good advice. So, man, I hope we answered your question. I think you I think if you try either of those suggestions, I like Vija's suggestion. You can get this taken care of. Just might be a finances thing, really. That's what it might come down to.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it sounds like if he wants medicine anyways, at this point, it's going to be out of pocket, you know?
So,
you know, just budget for it, because this is this is going to be a mainstay for you pretty much for the rest of your life. So, you know, budget for it monthly, you know, you can make it happen, you know? So, cool. Next question from the emails.
Best of luck.
Yes. Best of luck. Oh, and let us know how it goes, you know, and keep in touch. Definitely. Hey, Dr. Ogden and Dr. Patel.
If all else fails, what do you call a brown guy?
There you go. You have a 70% chance of getting it right, you know? This question is specifically for Dr. Ogden.
If you were like Mexican or Spanish, they would just be like Dr. Santiago.
Santiago, yeah. Or Jose. Just call him Jose.
It would be perfect.
In a recent podcast, you mentioned you had a differing opinion on two SARMs. He uses quotes.
Right.
Two that aren't SARMs, MK677 and GW501516. Could you reiterate that opinion?
Sure. So basically, I remember this going back to a question we had about what do we think of SARMs as opposed to regular like TRT or whatever.
Right.
And I think both our opinion was, if you're going to screw with your androgen receptor, I would stick with what's tried and true, meaning get a TRT prescription or whatever. And I said, we went down the list and I added these two on, and then I said, well, I have different opinion about them mainly because they're always listed under the SARMs and they're not SARMs. They have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
And my other opinion is this. Number one, I'll start with the MK. From everything I've read and everything I've seen and all the anecdotal evidence, I believe if this stuff were a prescription, it would be wonderful. It would work. It would help people with low, short stature, low growth hormone. It seems to really work. It doesn't seem to have a lot of side effects other than the hyperglycemia. So my difference in opinion is, as opposed to SARMs, quote SARMs, I think MK is something that would be good if we had it in medicine, if it wasn't, a research chemical only. I think it would be useful. And I would like it. So that would be my opinion on that. That's the difference, as opposed to like your other SARMs, like Ostarine and all those other ones.
Yeah.
And then the other opinion was, so anyway, MK is a secretagogue of growth hormones. So that's not a SARM. That was my opinion. And my opinion is that I think it would be useful. I actually do think it's useful if it were to pass clinical trials and come out as a medicine. I think that would be a great thing for people who need it. So that's the medical standpoint. So that's why my opinion differs, because I think that's a good thing. I don't think it's a good thing for us to use because it's, you know, not for research. It's for research purposes only, quote. But if it were a prescription, I would like it. So that's my opinion on that. And the GW, which is Cardarine, my opinion is different because, again, it's always listed under the SARMs, and it's not a SARM. It has nothing to do with androgen receptor.
Nothing.
Nothing. And so without going into – it's a PPAR agonist. So without going into all that, again, from all the studies I've read, if this stuff weren't to get pulled out of the phase 2 trials in 2007, this stuff sounds amazing for metabolic syndrome, sugar – cholesterol, endurance, and all that stuff. So here's the caveat, the thing that is always looming over my head with this, though. It didn't make it through because of this cancer issue, research, with the rats.
Yep.
And apparently everything I read, when you read the positive studies, this stuff sounds amazing for raising HDL, lowering cholesterol.
Blood sugars. Yep.
Yeah. Increasing fatty acid metabolism, staying lean. And so when I look at that, I'm like, man, this stuff sounds like it would be a great medication to use for people that are overweight, for people that exercise, sort of like a, quote, diet pill if we were to prescribe that.
You know what it is? You know what it's very, very, very close to is metformin. It's very close to it.
It sounds a lot like it. Yeah. It does. And, you know, the funny thing is we do have medications that that we use for sort of triglycerides and HDL, the fibric acids, like fenofibrate and stuff like that, they actually are PPAR receptors, but of a different PPAR receptor. I think this one's delta, and they might be like, you know, alpha. And they are, you know, we use them all the time. So long story short is, but here's my opinion on this. While it sounds great and I'm like, man, this sounds like it has a lot of promise, I wish they wouldn't have stopped the studies. Whenever you dangle cancer over my head, I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, you know? That's a bad C word, right?
Yeah. So like, while I think it sounds good, as opposed to, now I don't think SARMs sound bad. I just, if you're going to frequent your testosterone, why not just use testosterone?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my opinion. Yeah. Now, and so that's the difference. So that sounds like something that I would be totally on board with as far as treating metabolic syndrome, weight loss, cholesterol issues. It sounds – and there's – and honestly, there's a lot from what I've seen. There's a ton of good studies from that. And then you got this one issue. When they start talking about colon cancer, liver cancer – now – and here's the thing I do understand is the dosing was huge, or apparently
it was enormous, man. I was about to tell you, like, they're using rats, right? Little tiny creatures, rats. But they were they were using like 2 grams per pound of body weight. That's an astronomical amount of. I mean, look, if you
that would be like me. Say it again. They were using 2 grams per pound of body weight. So that'd be like me using what, like.
Like 400 grams or something? I don't know. Like,
nuts. Yeah.
That's crazy. You know what? The dosage is like 20 milligrams.
Right. You know? For an adult male or female or whatever.
Listen, if you're going to take, 200,000 times the dose of any medication, it's going to fuck you up. It'd probably give you cancer, you know, any medication.
And that's where my sort of. Okay, so my final opinion on MK is that if it were a prescription, I think it would be great. That's a plus. So I give a thumbs up. My final opinion on the Carterine, he's asking, or the GW, is this. Kind of a thumb sideways. If that issue wasn't there, this stuff sounds great. But once you start, even though it was the crazy dosing, it's still a little bit scary. But then you start to think to yourself, now, why didn't they lower the dose on those rats and see if anything else happened? Why didn't they start over and, you know, I forget, was it GSK? I think it was Glasgow. Was it Glasgow? SmithKline, GW? I can't remember who brought this. I forget which pharmaceutical company it was. But, you know, you're like, why didn't they look at a lower dose and see what that did on the rats? Because we're not rats, you know, and every day we're doing shit to ourselves that's going to cause cancer. Right. Every day.
Every day, yeah.
I mean, I'm drinking this Diet Coke right here, and from what I understand – if I took aspartame IV in grams for a year at a time, I probably would get some kind of problem.
Yeah, some kind of cancer somewhere. Yeah.
So that's my opinion on that. I give it a thumb sideways because that cancer thing still scares me a little bit. On the other side, all the other stuff sounds wonderful.
Yeah, you know what? I'll give it a thumbs up. Like I don't give a fuck because I don't have a license to revoke or anything.
I just slapped my Diet Coke all over the place. Right. Yeah. So you see what I'm saying? These are research chemicals anyway. So caveat is we're having an opinion here. We're just discussing. We're talking. I'm not recommending anything. I'm just saying this is our opinion. But go ahead. You don't give a fuck. I like that.
No. I don't have a license to revoke or anything. I can give you my honest opinion about stuff. And just understanding, you know, the process of how this medication works, you know, would metformin give you, you know, cancer? No, it actually fights cancer because it drops your IGF-1 levels. The only thing with GW is I'm not sure what its effects are on IGF-1, but I'd imagine that since it stimulates AMP kinase the same way that metformin does, that, you know, I'm just ballparking that IGF-1 would probably get reduced or somehow be affected, but
I actually think it might go up.
Oh, okay, so it does go up.
Right, because see, IGF-1 and the cancer thing, apoptosis, I think it goes up. I'm not 100% on that, but yeah. But you're right, it affects it. So
it affects it in some way. So, I mean, that's the only thing. But you got to realize, I mean, there's tons of things that can affect your IGF-1. You know, I mean, you take too much protein, you're going to have an increased IGF-1. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's really, it's splitting hairs. Yes, Yes, it'll give you cancer if you're dosing it 2 grams for fucking body pound. That's asinine, crazy. But, you know, hey, if you dosed your protein intake at, 100 grams per body pound,
you're going to get kidney failure.
I bet you'd get some sort of cancer. I bet.
Right. You know? Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, the whole cancer thing, I get it. I understand that it's scary because it is. But the fact is that, man, if everything will give you everything has the potential to give you cancer. You know, is that gonna let you choose what you're gonna do with your life? I hope not. You know,
right? I mean, and this is the thing. This is a tough one for me because I actually everything I read, and I've even anecdotally seen people get blood work and their cholesterol looks way better on it. And so my thing is, like I said, that sounds like a great drug.
Yeah.
And that one little thing makes me put my thumb to like 9 o'clock instead of 12. You know what I mean? Like I'm not giving it a 9, you know, I'm not putting it down to the 6, but like a 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
If it were a prescription medicine. You know what, to be honest with you, if it were a prescription medicine and it had that little sort of black box warning, I would probably still prescribe it, you know, because everything does that. Yeah. I mean, if you look at that. So I actually, like I said, if it wasn't for the cancer thing, that would get a big thumbs up for me.
Yeah.
And MK gets a big thumbs up for me if it ever comes out as a prescription medicine. And you know what else? Even look at some of the supplements we buy. And I don't know exactly why it has this because I haven't researched it that much. But have you ever got a product and it came from California? You know, it'll say this product contains things that can cause cancer by the state of California.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's just shit they have to put on the label. You know, it's like,
yeah. So, I mean, some contaminants. When I see that, I think I had a pre-workout that said that one time. Like, you're going to fucking die. Dude, you're going to die. You know, I'm like, no, every day. I don't even know why cancer. I think California has some kind of super strict guidelines or whatever, but
Hey, let me tell you, man, the number one causes of cancer are not GW at this moment. You know what I mean? They are smoking and alcohol. You don't need a prescription for those. You can just fucking go buy at the corner store, you know? So, I mean, those are the number one causes of cancer right now. I hate to break it to anybody listening, but that's you know, it's not GW. I'll tell you that.
Right. I got to tell you right now. We don't need to get back on this, but you know my smoking feeling. I mean, listen, that's like that should be – there should be nothing else in comparison to that. Listen, when I took – I've said this before and I'll say it again. When I take a boards exam, like a written test, and it would say – I'm going to be real hypothetical here. Which of the following risk factors would you have this person stop to improve their health? It'll say crack use, alcohol, tobacco, or Percocet. I'm going to circle cigarettes every time. I'm being facetious. It really wouldn't say that drastic. But the point is, I'm taught if you get stuck on a question like that and you see tobacco, circle it.
Right.
Because that shit is bang. Yeah. Everything about it. So, yeah. So yes. And I could walk in right now on oxygen. I could probably have an oxygen tank on. Go to Wawa. And the chick behind the counter would have no sense to sell me 4 packs of Camels.
Oh, of course.
And she has no reason and no need to stop me.
No.
There's no repercussion to selling a guy who has massive end-stage COPD a pack of smokes.
Right.
How about that?
Right.
You are allowed to still help him kill himself. And there's nothing that can be said about that. Okay,
yeah.
I just got my blood pressure up.
But God forbid, you know, GW, yeah, we can't legalize that. No way.
God forbid anything. Is, you know, God forbid you take something that makes you stronger and healthier.
Hey,
and,
let me tell you, if there were lobbyists that had all kinds of money in GW, that shit would be prescription in a heartbeat. You know,
dude,
what I mean?
That those studies with the rats would have accidentally been in the circular file somewhere.
Yeah, right.
So long story short is, as a doctor, that does scare me on that. But all the other stuff, man, sounds like it would have been a great medicine, to be honest.
Yeah. Next question. Hey, guys, I just recently switched from test propionate, and I'm getting severe pain in my glute medius. At first, I thought it was just a badly done self-injection on that first shot, but am now in a lot of pain on both sides. I can't sit or walk without pain. I feel better in the morning, then by the end of the day, I can't move. Granted, I'm new, but I have pinned myself multiple times when I was on test cypionate with TRT with no issues. TRT was 160 milligrams one time per week. Now I'm doing test propionate at 75 milligrams every other day. Could this be a reaction to the test propionate? Any ideas what your any ideas what's up or any suggestions for me?
I gotta say, if hopefully this is a prescription test propionate, so I'm gonna go with that. Okay, so yeah, so the answer to your question is, sounds to me like you're getting typical test propionate PIP.
Yeah, right.
It is well documented that that is a very hearty one, if hearty is a word.
Yeah.
And so, you know, hopefully your prescription test propionate isn't full of tons of benzyl alcohol and not really what it's supposed to have in it. But that's probably your problem. It's probably just PIP from test propionate. And you mentioned you're new to TRT, and so, you know, those muscles may take time to get used to sort of something like that. You know, you may just be getting what happens to a lot of people when they first use propionate ester, in my opinion.
Yeah, I, you know, and
I mean that's what I got. I don't really,
the, you know, I don't know that it's something that you're ever going to like, I don't think it's ever going to really decrease in pain, unfortunately. I think test prop hurts, man. Just like test suspension fucking hurts, you know? Now, test suspension hurts because it's a crystallization in water base, you know? So those are small particles that are being deposited in your muscles, and they're essentially like little pieces of glass. So they're cutting the shit out of you. That's where that pain comes from. Now, test propionate, it is oil-based. And in order to dissolve the propionate ester, which is a very short ester, and to keep it functioning, it requires a higher amount of benzyl alcohol in it. You know, not only for sterilization, but to suspend the actual chemical itself. So there's no getting around it, man. Have you ever injected pure alcohol into a muscle? It never adapts, okay? It fucking hurts every time. It will, and that's just kind of what you have to put up with, unfortunately. There's no way around it with test probe. Get off, dude. I would not put up with that shit. If you can't train to your best ability, you can't do your cardio because of post pain injection, that's just not getting any better. Get off it. Test is test, okay? It doesn't matter if it's propionate, doesn't matter if it's suspension, doesn't matter if it's, you know, enanthate or cypionate or whatever the fuck. Test is test, and it's going to do what it's supposed to do. It's just that, you know, you might get aromatase issues faster with propionate or not. Depends on if you're a hyper excreter or not with aromatase. So my suggestion long-term, if you're going to keep this up, get off the probe. Finish it up. Get on something else.
I will check that off. I concur.
Good. Glad.
That's one of those questions that, like, I handle the, I'll handle this next one.
Yeah, okay. We have, we're going to switch over to the questions from the board here. We just have one question from the board, and this is the last question here. So
there's a small one at the bottom that I think we both are probably going to, have a good time with.
But okay. No. Right on. Cool. All right, here. Hey, guys, love the show. Huge fan. Thank you. Thank you for listening. I have a question regarding my most recent blood work results. I have elevated TSH levels, but normal T3, T4. So it looks like I may be subclinical hypothyroidism. As of right now, my PCP doesn't feel it's necessary to jump on. Oh, so it was private practitioner. Necessary to jump on medication. But if it continues to present itself, that may be maybe the recommendation. My question is there anything that one can do to correct this without hopping on meds? If I have to be treated, what are the negatives, if any? I have dieted and competed in two bodybuilding competitions, but can't say with 100% that this was the cause, because there is a family history of thyroid problems. I'm not symptomatic that I know of, and sometimes I do worry about the long-term effects of dieting for shows. Any advice or clarity would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
So just real quick to sort of go back and define what he's talking about. So subclinical hypothyroidism is basically, it's when you have a patient who comes in and gets random labs, and just like he said, he come back with an elevated TSH, and then you do the whole rest of the – because listen, most of the time when you – just so everyone knows, most of the time when you go in and you get your standard blood work from a guy like me, like a family doc, I might do a little more just because I tend to do that. But in general, you're going to get a TSH only, and it's going to come with – most of the time we'll order what's called a reflex T3, T4, meaning – or just a T4 maybe, meaning – that if it's anywhere outside of range, the lab will automatically go ahead and throw that other test on there to see where that's at, because you can't really diagnose anything without all of it. So long story short is subclinical would be someone who's completely healthy, like hopefully lots of us who listen, and you go in and get your blood work done and the doctor calls you and says, hey, your TSH was elevated, but everything else was normal. That's called subclinical. Honestly, most of the time, those people will go on within months or maybe even years to develop full-fledged hypothyroidism. So you got to keep an eye on that. You know, maybe do labs Q3 months, you know, Q6 months, and tell them the symptoms of hypothyroidism, lethargy, feeling cold, hair loss, weight gain, things like that. And at some point, it's going to need to be treated. He asked if there's something he could do to stall that off, and I don't really – I mean, I think on one of our shows we talked about possibly some supplements that may or may not help. I don't even know if that's going to help. I mean, make sure you're getting enough salt in your diet. I'm sure he is, all that kind of stuff. But to me, one of the things I would love to have seen was how high his TSH is, because this is just what I've always done. If someone comes to me with subclinical, meaning their TSH was high and everything else was normal, I will treat them depending on what the number is, meaning if someone is double digits high, like a 10, and they have normal other values, I will still put them on some – it's going to change. They're going to be – soon they're going to go low. So I will supplement them. Mm-hmm. So depending on your TSH now – your doctor, one, is not wrong for the sort of watchful waiting treatment.
Yep.
Number two, though, depending on your number, your doctor may want to treat you earlier than later. So I don't have the number, so I can't tell you really what I would talk to my doctor about. But I can tell you that if you're in double digits, 10 or so, you probably should already be on medicine. Yeah. Regardless of what that shows, because sooner or later, you're going to be – everything's going to be all out of whack and you're going to feel it. That's pretty much my thoughts on that one.
Yeah, so you know, I think people have a misconception about.
Well, one more thing is we didn't get whether he ever used anything on his pre-contest either.
Right. I just assumed that he didn't because his T3 and T4 were normal.
Good point.
But I just, you know, people have a misconception about what thyroid stimulating hormone is, TSH. They, you know, they'll see that value or that. Sometimes it's not even a value. It's just an arrow pointing up or down if it's high or low on blood work.
Right.
But, I mean, if your TSH is maxed out, that's telling you that your pituitary is sending out this hormone, which stimulates your thyroid to produce T4, not T3, right? T3 is actually produced enzymatic separation of T4 into T3, right, by losing an iodine. So,
yep.
Yeah. So, I mean – when your TSH is elevated, that means your body is doing everything it can so that your thyroid production is within normal limits. Eventually, like the doc said, if it stays elevated like that, that means it's working way too hard in order to produce enough T4 for your body. So eventually what will happen is burnout, essentially, you know. So if it does stay elevated, you know, that's something just kind of keep check on. And your doctor is right. There's nothing that you can really do about it right now because your T4 values are fine. Go back, you know, another 3 months or so, get it checked again. Whenever it starts to decline, you know, medication right away. Definitely. You know, you don't want to get that to go too far. So,
yeah. I wouldn't dabble in treating it with, you know, anything you can buy on the internet. by yourself at this point, because then you're really going to throw the doctor off. If you go back in and things are looking way out of whack, then you're going to find yourself in an endocrinologist's office for something as simple as needing 25 of Synthroid or whatever. And the doctor will willingly prescribe that with no problem.
And T4 is dirt cheap from prescription, dude. It's so cheap, you know?
Yeah, so it's a generic. It's been around forever. Yeah. You shouldn't have any problem with that. And just be mindful, you know, if over, I don't know, you know, we obviously don't know when your doctor's going to retest, but it sounds like your doctor's on point. So I would say just be mindful of the symptoms of hypothyroid. If you start picking up weight, if you're like, man, what the hell? It's summertime and I'm chills. What the hell? If you have hair, if it starts to seem coarse or falling out more or dry, if your eyebrows or lashes seem thinner, that kind of thing, then you might want to jump, you know, give your doc a call and say, hey, look, I've been having these sort of, maybe it's in my head symptoms, but can we just run a TSH on me and just make sure it's not worse? That's what I would do.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep us posted on it. Yeah.
And overall, pretty easy fix. And
yeah, very.
Oh, the other thing is he mentions family history. And, dude, that is always – listen, we can change what we eat. We can change how we lift. We can change how much cardio we do. We can change all the pants we wear. But we can't change what mom and dad gave us.
Right. Those genes stay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, just keep us posted and let us know what's up and if we can answer any more questions from you. Last question from the boards. Hey, guys, just have a question regarding SEO, so site enhancement oil. Would you recommend taking SEO before or after a workout, or doesn't it matter? Big fan of the show, always dropping knowledge bombs. Thanks for listening. What do you say about SEO?
I feel horrible because the doc has no issue and no comment on this. I honestly know nothing. I don't prescribe what's the recent one? I don't prescribe Insight injection oils. I don't prescribe it. I honestly, even from being like reading online and stuff, I really don't have an opinion because I've never looked into it that deeply to educate myself. I don't really have that big of an interest in that. So I couldn't recommend anything. I wouldn't recommend anything. I don't know. I mean, this might be a better topic for blood, sweat, and gear, or even maybe you might have some.
No, I got nothing. I don't like SEO. I don't like people to use SEO. I think it's unnecessary. I'm more of a proponent of, you know, you have what you have and make the best of it. But I mean, I understand people are going to use it. But if they are, I'm really not the guy to talk to, you know. I don't have any experience with it myself. I don't like my clients using it. You know, I wouldn't recommend that they'd ever use it. There is artful ways of doing it. I just don't know them, and nor do I care to know them.
Yeah, I mean, from a medical standpoint, I have no use for them. I mean, I don't research any thing like that. I mean, it pops up on the boards all the time, so obviously I know about them. I mean, I don't know how to use it. I wouldn't even know the first thing to tell someone, and I wouldn't tell anyone anyway because I'm a doctor and I think that's just crazy. But long story short is we're here because we're bodybuilders too. But there are just some things that me and my partner just don't know about.
I think that's
one of them.
That's one of them. I would actually direct that question over to Blood, Sweat, and Gear with Skip and S2H and Scott McNally.
I would think that would be a much better sort of you'll get your answer stuff like that. So, you know, hopefully maybe they'll take a listen to this and they'll entertain that for you, or stick it under the sticky on the forums over at Advices.
Yeah.
Just copy and paste it under there. It'll get asked because it's a decent bodybuilding question, I think. I just don't know if me and Veej have any good. Yeah,
we got nothing. No, you get it. You're going to get an F answer from us, man.
We can't even give a C on this.
We got a fucking fail on that one. But
yeah, sorry, brother. I wish we could help. We didn't want to leave the question out.
Yeah.
Because we'll take all the questions and we'll give you what we know, man. And when we can answer something, we can answer it. And when we can't, we just give you an F answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Or we direct you over to smarter people.
Yeah. Exactly.
But that's all the questions we have now, man. What do you got going on? Do you have the day off today, or are you on call? What's happening?
Now I'm off and everything seems stable. I did have one person call out, but I think I got that covered. Remember earlier I was doing some texting while we were
– Yes.
I was covering up some – you know, patching some holes, man. And now I'm a free bird. Me and the – me and my training partner, Miss Chrissy, going to go crush some back, do some extra cardio. Nice. And then we're going to go see Haley play lacrosse.
Very exciting. I actually have back day today too. Nice. I'll be joining my training partners, Shelby Starnes and Bill Toko over at Royal Oak Gym. And we're going to hammer out some back. And
oh my God, you better fuel up. You're going to die, dog.
Yeah. That I die every time, but I managed to survive.
I'm sure you listened. Yeah, I'm sure you listened to the Shelby Advices episode.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that was one of the better ones for sure. It was a lot different than anything that Shelby's done before, so I really liked it.
Yeah, man. I this is funny. I know you guys have been listening to podcasts for a really, really long time, but honestly, Shelby's podcast when it was on RX Muscle was one of the first ones, him and Meadows, that I really got into.
For sure, Blue Collar Muscle. It's classic.
Yeah, and I learned a lot from them and on there, and I really was like, oh, one day it was just gone. And listen to this, Shelby will never remember this, but I met Shelby on in the airport in Vegas 2 years ago, leaving the Olympia. No, 2 years ago. Leaving the Olympia with my whole family.
Well, neat, cool.
And I we were on the tram car thing, going to the, you know how you, whatever that the little train is you take in the airport.
Yeah.
Got off and I said to him, "You Shelby Starnes?" Yeah, and he was very, very cordial, very nice. And I told him, I said, "Man, I wish you guys still had that." And he's like, "Yeah, it was fun, you know, whatever." And I just and he was real nice. So that was the only time I met him, but it was in the airport. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
He won't remember. I'm sure he meets lots of people, but that was me. Yeah. You do remember, Shelby. That was me and my family.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
But
so, that sounds great.
But I got to get some food in me and go get ready to train, man. But on that note, for the doctors are out.
See you guys. They call me.